Lisa.
The K-12 Education Committee will come to order. Today we've got three bills up. The first bill is House File 2109, Representative Cox, if you'd like to come up. And as you do, I want to recognize in our audience our students from the Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School from New Ulm. And welcome. It's nice to have you here. And Representative Cox, I'll move your House File 2109 to be before our committee for consideration.
Okay, thank you, Chair Segrin and members. I'm glad to be here today before you with this bill. This bill deals with online library of lesson plans for K-12. And I'm kind of excited about it. A little bit of background. I'm not a teacher. I have served on the Northfield School Board for roughly 16 years before I started this job. And I'm interested in education, interested in technology and the use of technology in education. And I think this is a great idea to bring forward and allow teachers to access a centralized point where they can check and see what other people are doing with lesson plans. There's a lot of things out there in the electronic world today, from individual groups, interest groups, different things. But I know we don't have a state-run plan to pull this all together and make it a easy and convenient source for teachers to go online and find out what other people are doing. I think it has some real benefits in looking at especially teachers that are just starting out in this area. I think the teachers that have been teaching for a number of years, 10, 15, 20 years, they all have a good idea of what has worked well for them, and they maybe settle in and they know one year that this may work best with the class of students they have, and next year the class is a little different for whatever reason, the makeup, and they adjust to that. These teachers that are just starting out in this, I think, could really do well with having a good area that they can get this information in a central location. In other words, if somebody is wanting to do a lesson plan in art that may incorporate geometry and ends up wanting to do an origami project or something like that, my envision is this legislation would, the Department of Education would be running a site so that there would be the cross links between there, and it would direct you to there, and maybe it would also direct you to something that the Origami Institute is doing, and you can pick up and pull off of it that way. I would like to make an author's amendment if it's appropriate, and that would be that I just delete Section 2 under appropriations. I visited with many people in the building here and don't feel that it would need a regular state appropriation on this, and that Title II federal funds would be able to be used on this.
Madam Chair, I'll move the bill and to be before us for possible inclusion in the K-12, whatever we couldn't call this bill, omnibus bill, and also move the amendment for Representative Cox.
All right, Representative Erickson moves that Section 2 be stricken from the bill. Any questions, comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? The amendment is adopted.
Thank you. And then to go into it a little bit more, I have just a little more explanation that I have an individual with me, Griff Wigley. I've known Griff for years. Griff is also not a teacher, but we both were involved in the starting of a little private school north of Northfield in 1982. It still exists today. And then Griff is very active and involved with the electronic world, and I've enjoyed working with him on things, and he may have some ideas to share with you on this too. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. When Representative Cox first told me about this...
Sir, you need to identify your name.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Griff Wigley, W-I-G-L-E-Y. I live in Northfield. And father of four almost all-grown kids, and former board member of Prairie Creek, and kind of involved in charter schools. When they first told me about this, my initial reaction was this idea has been around for a while, and part of the problem has been one of the correct incentive for teachers to do this. Not unlike the corporate world, a lot of big corporations have what are called knowledge management systems inside their corporations as a way for employees to contribute their knowledge into a big database so the corporation can capture that knowledge for future use, even if the employee leaves. And those are notoriously problematic because employees typically feel like it's paperwork. Why should I contribute my project to a database and I'll never get any credit for it and it's not related to work I'm doing right now? And so it's, I think this, if the Department of Education tackles this, that's going to be one of the things that they're going to have to figure out. Some of the commercial lesson plan websites out there right now seem to be pretty robust, some of them, and they are paying teachers a stipend to submit a lesson plan, and if it's accepted, they'll pay them $50 or $100 or something like that. The Google and other search tools make it pretty easy for you to find lesson plans out there. If you do a search on lesson plan and put the word, you know, Hiroshima or 9/11 after it or Civil War, you can find tons of lesson plans out there related to whatever the topic area you're interested in. If you do that for Minnesota and put the word Minnesota in there, you typically get, and this goes back to my point about incentives, you get organizations that have lesson plans on their websites, like the Minnesota History Center, like the Raptor Center, like the Lindbergh Center, Minnesota Coalition of Homeless. All these organizations have, as part of their incentive to spread their knowledge about their organization to K-12 through lesson plans. And so Ray's right, there's no one place to go where you can kind of see that. It's kind of a hit and miss search to find those Minnesota related projects. The other problem that I see with this is that it's a database of content is dead in the sense that it's just piles of information sitting there. And I think another thing that if the department is charged to do this would be, how do you make it more interesting for teachers to get involved in a new lesson plan? Are there ways for a master teacher to sort of keep a web blog, for example, of their work with a lesson plan over the course of a month so other teachers can kind of watch, electronically speaking, how they're tackling that? So I think some of those, it probably isn't appropriate to be in the bill language, but that's sort of my reluctance about how this would get used so that it's just not a stagnant, dead database of information that nobody uses.
Thank you.
And I think I was purposely leaving this very flexible and not having very prescribed directives about what to do on the Department of Education establishing this online lesson plan library. Because I think if this can move forward, we can see some flexibility, and if the end result can be something, as Griff has said, that's alive and that teachers have the ability to check on a lesson plan, and then not just have it be like some of these we've all seen, you know, pretty dead web pages that aren't changed very often and all that, and to either through the use of web blogs with teachers or whatever, just get their really good feedback about how that's working for them, and so that it there's a real connection to the teachers and their use of this in their classrooms. I hope that could happen by moving this forward.
Representative Viskins, you had a question?
A couple, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. Mr. Marcus, I see that he's here. Maybe this directed towards you. Mr. Marcus, in the private sector, development of ideas, development of processes, development of virtually, in the public sector, at least in education, I don't think that's ever been articulated one way or the other, all right? by passing this, are we making the assumption that the development of the lesson plan is the intellectual property of the teacher or of the school that employs the teacher, I guess, is a question I want to start with.
Madam Chair and Representative Biskins, I think the model that we're trying to promote is one in which the teacher would get due credit for the work that they have contributed. I am not aware of schools trying to control the intellectual property of teachers, particularly, I guess that might be problematic because one doesn't know if it's done on school time or not. So we really haven't talked about that issue. However, it may be something to further investigate if it does seem to be an issue with teachers. At this point, it was our intention just to give some credit to the teacher for the work that they have done and to make it known from which institution they have been teaching.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And two other questions are pretty simple, so I'll put them together. Mr. Marcus, what is there anything currently in statute which prohibits the department to do this, i.e. why the need for statutory language, number one? And number two, has the department done any calculations as to the cost of this? I see we can absorb it within the department's current budget, so I'm assuming some calculation of cost has been done.
Mr. Marcus.
Madam Chair, Representative Biskins. Yes, there were some cost estimates initially with this bill upon introduction. I think that they were, forgive me because I might be a little buzzy on this, I think they were around the $100,000 or so range, the thought being that that would be ample to hire somebody for the quality integration that the representative spoke about, so that this is a good tool. Upon further consideration of the Title II funds that the department has, I'd like to compliment Representative Cox, it is our impression that we can use the federal funds that we have for this purpose. So, thank you.
And then, Madam Chair,
Mr.
Marcus, the other question I asked dealt with statutory prohibitions against doing this right now. Is there any?
Madam Chair, Representative Biskins, none that I am aware of.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Segrin. Mr. Marcus, do you recall when we implemented the profile of learning whether or not some of those model lesson plans were from teachers that the department used and put on the website? I remember perusing them often just to see what was out there to compare them to what I was doing. Do you recall if some of them were credited? Because I think some of them were credited to classroom teachers who had worked on the pilot project for the profile.
Mr. Marcus.
Madam Chair, Representative Erickson, I'm sorry that I did not, given the history of the profile, but I'm sorry that I'm not familiar with those documents.
Okay. Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe for Mr. Marcus, too, this seems like the perfect thing that would have been done under the old best practices part that we had at one time. And I'm trying to remember, and you would probably remember, was that completely eliminated, or is there any portion of it left? And why couldn't, this to me is exactly why we had that, and what we should just be routinely doing without Representative Cox having to come forward with, you know, what I think is a good idea, but I would have thought we would already be doing.
Madam Chair, Representative Dreiling, I believe, and your fiscal experts can talk to this better, I believe that there are still some hundreds of thousands of dollars left for best practices, but it's down significantly from where it was at previously. I could be wrong on that. It might be gone altogether. And indeed, it would be something that the department, in our impression, should be doing. It was not done, unfortunately, previously, but we have an opportunity now. We formerly thought we were going to need an appropriation with this bill, and as we consider our federal Title II dollars, we now think that is not needed. So we do think we have the legal authority, and just wanted to still share this with you.
So, Madam Chair, Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marcus, I may have missed something then. So in other words, now you think you don't need the bill, you could just do it.
We believe that we could. We would like to have your input on it.
Yeah, I think that's the point that Representative Viskins was making, that in the process of this bill coming forward, they've identified Title II dollars that can get this website running and get the dissemination of lesson plans out there. So we really don't need the legislation.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I must have been talking to my neighbor when that was being put forward. Could I ask one last question, though?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Marcus, to get back, though, to that best practices, and I guess I would like to know, Madam Chair, from the staff, if there's anything left or how much we cut it, and if we could get that answer, and then I would like an assessment of you know, what you think we still could do. I know that I think it's something districts are hungry for, to have help with professional development and sharing and facilitating, and I think we all share on this committee that that should be the role for the department. But yet I hear from districts that the department has been cut so much that there's just so much of that previous activity, even what there was, is drying up and going in the wrong direction. And so I'm wondering what your assessment would be of how much of that we could start doing and so forth. But did we cut that altogether, or how much?
Sir,
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, we have $1 million for best practices grants and $250,000 a year for 04 and 05, and $250,000 per year is allocated to Chance to Grow New Visions. So there's $750,000 that's available for making grants.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Crow, what proportion of that is to what we had to begin with? How much? I can't remember how much of that was cut.
For the biennium 0203, there was about $7.5 million in there. So there's about a $5 million reduction from biennium to biennium.
So then my question for Mr. Marcus, that's a significant cut.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, I'll speak to the latter part of your statement and question first, and then if you'd like to speak about the other part, please remind me.
Mm-hmm.
The department, through the process of working with schools on their federal applications and the implementation of their various grants for Title I and Title II, there's a large emphasis on the issue of looking at the data that the school produces as far as the achievement of children,
mm-hmm.
and then involving the teachers in some sort of analysis of that data to better improve what the school is about. This process, and that involves conversations, bringing teachers together at the site level, in some instances, actually, if the school is particularly needy, even providing some department resources in the way of personnel or hired personnel to assist that discussion. But we hope that through mechanisms like that, we can further encourage the sort of discussion that needs to happen between grade-level teachers and between teachers of the same grade level, too. Allow them to get on the same page professionally and understand what it is that those others in their schools are doing. Does that answer your question regarding the staff development, the discussion about staff development? And
well, Madam Chair, Mr. Marcus, I just was trying to get a handle on how much sharing and facilitating and seeding we can do of best practices and sharing them with others, you know, like this idea, sharing environmental type lesson plans. And I just have heard from districts that I represent that there's a drying up of those opportunities, even conferences and you know, interpretations of federal and state mandates and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So with the, you know, cutting one of every $7 in that department, I was trying to find out if you think, you know, adding now these federal funds,
sure,
how much of that hole that will plug,
yeah,
up, and if you think we can resume, I don't see how we can do too many districts with personal staff help from the department with the nature of how the department is being cut back, but it seems like these web-based opportunities, you know, are more doable, and then everybody can plug in on their own, and I wonder how much you think we're going to be able to do based on the money that you have, your honest assessment compared to what could have been done had we not stripped out most of this program last year.
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, certainly one would think that the reduction in the size of what has taken place will have some impact. I'm not in a position to say what could have previously been done with that, not having had that experience and not really being someone who knows what it costs to develop a web product. But it is our hope that we can do this. Certainly one of the things that we hear a lot is that teachers need the time to talk with one another. And if that can't happen within the school day as readily as we would like, it certainly seems that the web might offer an opportunity for this sort of exchange, like Representative Cox stated to his witness about a web log, to watch a fellow teacher implement a particular lesson plan or some ideas in curriculum. If I could add one other thing as far as the best practices, I do believe that there was a desire to take the grant workshops that the department has typically done and to turn those into something that's a grant workshop and also a best practice. So it has been the department's practice to go through and to do between 9 and 12 regional trainings on how one works with grant applications for federal programs over the course of a given year. It's my understanding that this coming year they will take that and actually make it a couple-day affair in a given regional area so that they can have best practices shared at that same time. I'm not sure of the scope of that. That is the initial discussion that I'm familiar with.
Representative Wardlow, you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chair. Do you have a sense? I know that in the school I taught at, teachers are on the web all the time searching for information. I'm not sure they're always searching for lesson plans. Have you a sense? Have you ever surveyed some schools to see how many would actually access the web for lesson plans as opposed to just research on their topic?
I have not researched that, Representative Wardlow. I do feel that if this moves forward and the Department of Education is behind it and teachers feel confident that it's a good, safe area, there's recognition given, all these things that we've talked about today, I really do believe they will use this. I also want to pick up on something that Representative Garland said, and that is that we all know there's been reductions in education areas of specific, like the development areas, so forth, that we had here. But I do want to point out this hasn't been done. So in the previous 3, 4, 5 years when Minnesota was in a little different financial picture, a little better picture than we maybe are right now, it wasn't done. And I'm not sure why that is, because I think this makes some sense, and at a time when it's a little easier to find funding for different things, you might think that this may be brought forward. So my intention is to just bring it forward now, get this discussion that we're having today, and get it over to the Department of Education, however we can get it there, and move this forward. If it would have been put in place 4 years ago, say 5 years ago, I don't know what it would look like today, but I think it would be a great thing in a time when budgets aren't as flush as they were to be able to direct teachers and get them involved with lesson plan sharing. But we don't have it now because it wasn't done then. So I hope it can move forward.
Amy, this is a question, I don't know if for Representative Cox or Mr. Marcus, but when the teachers submit their lesson plans, do they get some kind of credit for it? Or, you know, like, I don't know, it would be kind of nice to give them some kind of something towards their continuing ed credits, or I don't know how that, just thinking off the top of my head, but I think it would be a nice recognition of the work that they're doing, especially if they're identified as good lesson plans. Mr. Marcus, do you know if there's any thing to do with that?
Well, Madam Chair, I can speak to that a little bit in some of the discussions we've had about alternative compensation, where I think that there is some consideration of districts, you know, as far as what a teacher has been involved with professionally, as far as giving that due weight when you talk about how to compensate that teacher. As far as a standard contract and how it's typically implemented in the state of Minnesota, perhaps Representative Erickson or somebody who had been in the classroom as of late could speak to that, but I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Mr. Representative
Bartlow,
did you have a question? Did I get your question?
No, I just liked your idea, Madam
Chair. All right. I think we need to... Is this a question? Is this a question?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just wondering if we can add to Representative Cox's bill on line 22 something to this effect: the department shall provide a place on the web to recognize the contributions of the teachers.
Well,
would you like to consider that, Representative Cox, as this moves forward?
Erickson, we actually don't need this legislation because they can go ahead and do this, so we really don't need to toy with this. But I think those feedback to the department is important, that there should be some effort to recognize these teachers' efforts, and maybe with the Title II dollars, either maybe even get some professional development credit or something that towards their continuing at licensure or something that I think would recognize it, so that this is something that if you've got your lesson plans on here, you've been recognized as developing some really neat stuff, and some way to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll take that back.
Well, and Madam Chair, I'm sure these can be considered credits toward continuing education. Any of our professional development that further advances our excellence in the classroom is considered good for continuing it.
Chair Stephen, thank you. And this might be for Mr. Marcus. What other things can federal Title II dollars be used for?
Madam Chair, Representative Dabney, I'm not prepared to talk about all the things that they could be used for, but in general, they can be used for teacher professional development. And the idea is that, at least as they're provided for in No Child Left Behind, the idea is that the professional development has to be of a high and more rigorous standard than what we had in the past. It has to be something that is not a half-day, one-day occurrence, but rather something that has some continuity and has some basis in practice or science to indicate that what is being taught in the professional development setting will actually have a positive impact on student learning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We need to move on to our next bill. Bill is House File 2230, Representative Coonan. And yes, while Representative Coonan is coming up, we need to pass the minutes of. Representative Fearnet, would you like to move the minutes of February 19th?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, all in favor of the minutes of February 19th, say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? The minutes of February 19th are approved. Then we have the minutes of February 24th, and Representative Wardlow, would you like to move those minutes?
So moved.
Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposition? The minutes of February 24th are approved. Welcome, Representative Coonan, and would you like to tell us what your bill is about, and then introduce your guests?
Okay. Thank you, Chair Segrin and committee members. The bill is a short and straightforward bill having to dealing with a request from the McRae School District to transfer funds from the Disabled Access Fund to the Undesignated General Fund. I have with me today Superintendent of Schools Gary Spahn and School Board Member Jerry Struckness, and they'll introduce themselves as they speak.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. In 1997, an extensive remodeling project was done for the McRae School District in all four of their school buildings. This was completed in 1997, and since that time, it has we have $288,000 in the handicap access funds. At our last audit report in January, our auditor recommended that we ask the legislature if we could transfer $230,000 of that out, leaving $58,000 in the handicap access account. I have directed our director of special ed to do research on this to make sure that we have enough money in that fund to accommodate any future needs for handicap accessibility. We think $58,000 will more than cover any future needs, and so we ask the legislature, the committee, to consider this.
And then you want to identify yourself for the tape and make any comments?
Madam Chair, my name is Gerald Struckness, and I'm one of the school board members from McCray. I just want to point out that last year, because of financial situations, we reduced our general fund expenditures by about $930,000 to keep our district in the black, so to speak. And the transfer of these funds from the reserve to the unreserved general fund would certainly enable us to stay in that type of a position. And that's why we're requesting to do this.
What is your unreserved fund balance?
It's a little over $1 billion, Chairman.
Your unreserved fund balance is $1 million? What is your total budget?
Our total budget is $7.2 million, Madam Chair.
That's quite a big reserve balance for a $7.2 million fund balance. Do you have excess space in your buildings, by the way?
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Do you have excess space in your buildings?
Excess space?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Is that generally in all of your buildings, or in located in some? Is it kind of spread throughout all of your buildings?
Madam Chair, it would depend on the building.
Okay.
In Raymond Elementary, which we call Elementary East Elementary, they're pretty full.
Okay.
But in West Elementary, they're not quite so full, and in our junior high has some extra space too.
Okay. And you want to keep 58. Now, the other question I have for you. You had certified, to get the disabled access levy, you had to certify a number of years ago that you were going to spend the money on certain disability issues. Why did you not spend that money? If you levied it and it's been sitting in the bank, why did you not spend it?
I wasn't there at the time, Madam Chairman, so that's why Mr. Struckness maybe can.
Okay, Mr. Struckness.
Madam Chair, part of the work done to make the buildings accessible were done as part of our remodeling project, and just were not allocated to this type of to this fund or to these this account. They have been done.
And so, but you should, I guess, you know, I think what the directive is, and then if you don't need that money, it should be, you know, rebated back to your taxpayers if you're not going to use it. That's, you know, you don't just keep it and not rebate it if you're not going to use it. How long have you had that reserve?
How long has that been in the
uh-huh.
account? Since 1997, when the remodeling project was completed, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions for Representative Coonan? When you remodeled your buildings, did you use other monies for that instead of your disability access money?
Madam Chair, when we remodeled the buildings, there was a bond issue of ballpark $7 million to mm-hmm. do all the remodeling.
But you could have applied some of that money, could you not have, to any of your accessibility issues?
Madam Chair, yes, I believe that's true.
But you did not?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. All right, Madam Chair, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to get this straight. So you levied the money for the disability access and then spent the bond money that you raised on that purpose, and that's why, so you never used the money that you levied for disability for the purpose that you levied it for. You used the other money. So in other words, the bond was bigger than it would have otherwise needed to be if you'd had, if you'd used this money. Was it a timing problem, or why did that happen?
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm not the district accountant, so I can't speak to all of the allocations as all the bills come in, but the remodeling of all four buildings, which included making them all accessible, you know, all the work was done, and I suspect it's a matter of accounting where these bills get charged.
Madam Chair, could I ask Mr. Crow this then?
Yes, Representative Greiling.
Thank you. Mr. Crow, what would be the legality of this if they levied the money for disability access but used their bond money instead?
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, we have done this in the past, basically moved the money out of the Disabled Access Fund, and as long as we give them the authority to do that, it's okay from that perspective. We're thinking maybe three or four times we've allowed this kind of a fund transfer.
That's some of the issues, Representative Greiling, I think, though, are in some of those cases, there may not have been a bond, you know, issue involved in it. They may have just not spent all of the money. They may have estimated that they were going to need X amount of money, and they didn't. Some of them we may have allowed it because of some financial, you know, difficulties or something. I don't know if there's been a bond referendum involved with all of these. We'd have to go back, I think, and look at each one of those.
Right. That's what I'm trying to find is the precedence, because, of course, we over here in the minority are always looking for equal treatment. So I'm trying to ask these questions while they're here and make sure that, you know, that we're that what the precedent was and when did it happen and is this different in any way or not is what I'm trying to find out.
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, in many cases we see these because the district will have changed its decisions about its facilities. For example, they're going to put an elevator in a building, and then they decide to build a new building, or they consolidate, or something happens, and so then they've levied the money, and they don't have that need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The department will make them basically under levy in some other area to get rid of the balance in this account if the money is not used for the purposes it was levied for, and basically they'll have to give the money back to the taxpayers if this change isn't made. So this kind of bill in the past, we've also had to carry that levy tracking for that reason.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Crow, so were bonds involved, though, is what I'm asking, in those other three or four cases that you're talking about?
Madam Chair, it's possible, Representative Greiling, that they were, and we have to go back and look at the specific cases.
Madam Chair.
If they did build a new building, they might have bonded for that. I mean, I don't remember a case where it's been they've bonded for the project that they levied for the disabled access for, but in some cases they may have done a bond to replace a building and then not needed that anymore.
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, I think in at least two of the cases that I recall where we've done this in the past decade, it's been because of balances in districts that have consolidated and then changed their building needs because of the consolidation. And one that comes to mind, the Lac-a-Parle area districts had some balance, and I think this was probably about 8 years ago that we authorized a fund transfer, similar transfer for them. They built, the districts essentially consolidated and ended up using the space in a different way. So some of the money that they had levied for the disability access projects, we allowed them to apply to the new building costs instead. And this is a little different situation in that they've got a bond issue that did the work. But I think one of the issues that's the same here is that McRae is formerly three districts that consolidated, and I'm not sure if the Disabled Access Authority was approved individually by the boards prior to the consolidation or not. It may have been.
Do you know, Superintendent or Chairperson, whether this was before or after consolidation?
Madam Chair, I don't recall. I do recall that the consolidation was done in 1989.
Oh, okay, so that was before. Okay. All right. Yeah, right. McRae would have levied it as a consolidated district. So that because in 89 they consolidated. So it was before the actual. Okay. Representative Biskins?
Madam Chair, I'm informed. Thank you.
Okay. Before we move on with any other questions, we do have the Bethany Academy Civics class from Bloomington in the audience. We want to welcome you. Thank you for coming today. All right, if there are no other questions, and we would have to carry a levy. I think, Representative Greiling, your question also about the levy. No, we wouldn't. Yes, we do. We do. This was a levy cost, so we're trying to track our levy issues and then working on Representative Abrams in the Tax Committee on these issues to see if we can have a levy target. Thank you very much, Representative Kunin and Superintendent and Chairperson.
Thank you.
The next bill up before us is House File 2245, Representative Samuelson. Welcome, Representative Samuelson, and please introduce your guest.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My guest is John Moss, who works for the Mounds View School District and will basically be explaining our request, although I do have a little prior information. What we're looking for is a lease levy for the maintenance building that about 5 years ago started, Mounds View School District started a negotiation with Arden Hills to look at the joint type of facility, because the facility that the maintenance garage is in for Mounds View School District is way too large and very, very old. And so we're looking for a levy that would last for 10 years to the tune of about $200,000 per year, and it would also be a lease to buy. So we wouldn't just be paying the money to Arden Hills for the portion of the facility, but it would then, at the end of this time, actually be owned by the school district under this joint powers agreement. And John Moss will fill you in on the details.
All right.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, John Moss from the Mounds View School District, Director of Support Services. The purpose in being here, I have some materials for you if someone would... pass them out. I'm here begging on behalf of the district because we are asking for an exception to law. If you will bear with me, Section 12640 capital levies prohibits the districts from using the proceeds of this levy must not be used for custodial or other maintenance services. That's in Section B. The reason that we're asking for this is 5 years ago the intent of the district was to pay cash for its share, which is about $1.3 million. This is a cooperative facility between Ramsey County, the City of Arden Hills, and the Mounds View Public Schools. It is purely a maintenance facility. If you'd like to see it, it's built out on the, or being built, I should say, on the TCAP property, which is a Twin City Arsenal's property. Directly at the intersection of Highway 96 and Hamlin Avenue. This cooperative facility will provide the school district with storage space for trucks, mowers, and a place for its buildings and grounds technicians to change clothes and go out to various buildings to handle emergencies as they're called upon. There will be one office in that facility. Essentially, the total square footage that the district will have will be 10,000 square feet. And the reason that we are moving this is that our central offices have been downsized considerably as a result of cutbacks. The district cut back approximately $1 million out of its central services area 3 years ago. And with that, we've made the decision to sell the property. We have already looked into the what we can raise from the property. And at this point in time, because of the nature of what the property was before we bought it, it was a dairy farm that was started in 1910. Then it became a printing area for the Catholic Digest. And then it was bought by the Mounds View School District as a district center. And because of that, we're going to have to do some Phase 1 and Phase 2 environmental tests in all probability before we can get the price that the property is evaluated by currently by the county and the city. It resides in the city of Roseville. The second piece that I've attached there for you to look at is the tax impact of what we're asking for. What we're asking for is up to $200,000. We would obviously levy only what we need. The tax impact of that on a residential home at about the $250,000 level would be $7.98 a year. If you look at the commercial industrial property, and we do have many high-value commercial industrial properties, on a $5 million building, it would be $316.78 a year. And if you want to look at apartments, $500,000, it would be $1,995 per year. As you can see, the impacts are impacts. They are not great, but they still are an increase in taxes, and we recognize that. The third piece that I put in there for you is an amortization schedule on what we would expect the cost to be. And we've used a 3, a 4, and a 5% example to show you the drawdown over the period of the 10 years. The reason that we're asking for the 10-year period is this is the term of the bond that we've asked Ramsey County to sell on our behalf because we don't have the cash to do it ourselves. 5 years ago, the intent of the district was to pay cash. Over that time, the financial position of the district deteriorated until the year before this last close. We were at $1.8 million in deficit. Currently, we have a surplus of about $620,000 on a budget of $80 million. So that's why we're asking for the levy authority. We do have some other options out there that you need to be aware of and that we would not want to keep you ignorant of. We have and are working on some co-development with about 19.9 acres in our Shoreview city with developers that have been selected by the district. If that goes smoothly and all happens well, we may have enough money at that time to take it and pay off the county, in which case they would have to defease the bond that we're asking them to sell. And then we wouldn't have to levy this particular tax. But it's very difficult for anyone to go out and say, well, how is the district going to pay for this money lease when we would have to say, well, if we have to take it out of cash, it amounts to approximately 4 teachers in terms of the impact would be in terms of our educational program. And that's in brief where we are. And so this is a request for up to 10 years. It may not be necessary for that long, and if all goes well, it won't be. But obviously, it is an exception to the law. The department does not have the authority to grant us this levy, and that's why we're here before you.
Questions? Representative Biskins, and then Devin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Moss, has this issue been before the voters of the Mountfield School District?
No, sir.
All right. Madam Chair?
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Moss, has the school board talked about bringing this before the voters?
Mr. Moss.
Madam Chair, Representative, no, sir, because of the small amount, the $200,000. We just passed an operating levy referendum for $6.3 million. We passed that 58-42 in spite of the opposition from the Taxpayers Association.
Madam Chair.
Actually, that would be League, not Association.
Oh, League. Okay.
There's two organizations, and the Taxpayers Association is a nonpartisan excellent, you know, provides tax analysis.
Madam Chair.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Moss, regardless, and I don't quite get the interjection of your who was opposing, all right, that I don't get why you needed to inject that, but I'm curious as to why you're looking for a discretionary levy where you can actually just simply take the money from your taxpayers when already, and you need special legislation to do that, when you already have the ability, if it's a good idea, to make that case to the taxpayers and put it out for a vote. Why would you choose not to do that?
Mr. Moss.
Madam Chair and Representative, the reason that we would choose not to do this is that the cost of running an election in the number of cities that we are a part of, which are eight, and we do pay our share of the fees for that. And the second reason is that, as I pointed out earlier, we had hoped to pay cash, and that if we're in a position to use cash, we would not be using the levy. This is a backup for us to help us bridge some difficult times as where we are right now.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question I have, when would this facility be built?
Madam Chair, Representative Demmer, the facility is under construction. If you drive to the and we're scheduled to move in October of 2004.
How long has the planning, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, how long has the planning been in place to do this? How long has
about
been
5 years.
In the, Madam Chair, when you determined at some point you were going to pay cash for it at the outset, it sounds like, at what point did you realize along this process that you were not going to be able to pay cash for it?
Mr. Moss.
Madam Chair, Mr. Demmer, I've been with the district since the 1st of October of 2002. When I came into the district, we were running a deficit of about $1.8 million. We've had to make several adjustments. We currently have a surplus, as I mentioned, of about $600,000. We are trying to pull our operations together, and with an $80 million budget, we just don't have the flexibility. And I wasn't aware of how far this was along until about January of 2003.
Mr. Moss, if this doesn't go through, what happens to your, would you continue to house your machinery? Where would you house it if this doesn't go through?
Madam Chairman, this is, we're going to do this. It's a question of whether we take the $200,000 out of the general fund and take it away from direct services to students, or whether we temporarily do this until we have some other resources. We can take it out of cash, obviously, because we have the obligation. We have a joint powers agreement with Ramsey County and with the City of Arden Hills, and we have to stand and deliver in terms of our share. So what we're doing is we're temporarily asking for the help of the legislature on
that. Okay. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because I represent a small portion of the Mounds View School District, I just want to put in a word for the school district being very, very fiscally run. The district center for District 621 is in the district that I represent, and I have gotten there quite often for various functions, and it used to be filled with administrators. And now you go and you walk down like two long hallways before you find a live body, and you feel like saying, is anyone here? Is anyone in this building? And you practically get an echo because they have cut. It's been a very fiscally conservative school board, from my opinion, from watching them compared, and a fiscally conservative community compared to my own Roseville schools, where I served on the school board and where I live. And they've had a lot of trouble passing levy referendums because of the involvement of the Taxpayers League, Representative Biskins, and so it's kind of, it is a factor, I think, in this discussion. They've had to pare back what they asked for significantly in order to pass the finally successful levy referendum. But the class sizes, I've been to the schools, and the high school this year are packed. There were, 40, 45 kids in the classroom. So, this is not a district that, even though we have this idea that suburban districts have a lot of money, this one certainly does not. And I just want to compliment Mr. Moss. I know he came after a lot of these problems and is working to get them in line. But I believe you are a former employee or worked with former Governor Al Quie, I believe, right?
That's correct.
And so I hope you'll, give this bill a friendly consideration, because I can testify to the district having worked really hard to provide the best education in limited financial circumstances.
We have Madam Chair.
Representative Biskins? Question?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Samuelson?
Madam Chair and committee members, I just wanted you to know that the intention is still, if Mons, you can come up with the cash, is to pay cash for their portion. This is just, as Mr. Moss said, kind of a little blurb in the road and a sort of a backup plan.
Mr. Moss, just a question. Will the district own the whole building or just a portion of the building? I mean,
Madam Chair, only a portion of the building.
Okay.
This is a huge building. Okay. It will ultimately, as I understand it, house all of Arden Hills City's maintenance facility, as well as the whole of Ramsey County.
Okay. And then you said that you've got some property that you're in the process of selling.
That's correct.
And what is the estimated value of it? You said that you may have to do some maybe environmental mitigation before you can sell it, but what do you think the value of it?
The value on the property tax statement was $1.1 million. When we talked with various developers, and we have talked with a number of them that we thought were fiscally responsible, we have received quotes of $800,000 less the cost of demolishing the building that we're in and taking care of the environmental. So everything is contingent on that. That's why we're going to take care of the environmental and get some bids on demolishing, because we do want to improve the property. The property itself that I'm talking about is actually right across from Park. It's in a beautiful little residential district, and therefore it really needs to be reprocessed, I guess would be
okay.
A good word.
Redeveloped, yeah.
Redeveloped.
Representative Krenke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Moss, the school district also owns a parcel, I believe, 40 acres in the city of Shoreview?
Madam Chair, Representative Krenke, no. The district owns 19.9 acres in the city of Shoreview, and that also is under development. And if everything goes well, we may have some cash from that also. 19.9 acres.
So what's the value of that piece of property?
Well, I understand that when they bought it a number of years ago, or I should say when they acquired it a number of years ago, it was quite small. Now the speculation is that it could be anywhere from $5 million to $7 million.
And how long has the district had the property?
That I can't answer. I do know that there was a court case a year ago that was closed out. The Supreme Court ruled that it was the district's property and they could have it and use it. But I'm not sure how long that they had the property, sir.
Madam Chair, just to enlighten committee members, this was a piece of property that the school district took by eminent domain some 30 years ago with the intent, obviously, at that time of growing a suburban school district. They've never built on the land. The court case was because from the previous owner of the land, who went to court to say that you can't take a property under eminent domain and then never use it. The school district has been sitting on a $5 to $7 million asset for over 20 years. The district has declining enrollment, needs to be looking at closing schools, and so I think it's fairly simple here. The district has the money. They don't need this language.
All right. Representative Biskins, do you have any?
I'll pass, Madam Chair.
All right. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Maas, so much for coming. And Representative Samuelson, did we someone move this 2244, House File 2244, to be before a committee for consideration? I will do that. Thank you, and we will consider this as we go forward.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Maas and Representative Samuelson. With that, our meeting is adjourned.